Right, so this was the big story that I think has kind of been dominating the kind of anti-games journalism space over the past few days. And it's not a surprise that it comes from a subsidiary, well, not a subsidiary, but kind of a an offshoot of Kotaku, their UK vertical. It's one of the most absurd stories I think I've ever seen. And we're just, I thought it's very important to kind of break it all down. I did tweet about it. I said I was going to talk about it in the video. Basically, this will go on to serve as this video. So if you're watching this part on YouTube, that's why it was actually done live. So apologies for any errors or fuck-ups, because, as I said, XSplit is misbehaving currently at the moment. I don't know why. For like, yeah, I just can't click on any of the boxes right now. So, for those of you who missed it, Kotaku UK ran a story basically about a Super Smash Brothers. Hang on. I actually am going to restart this because I cannot. I don't even know what that is. Can I just remove that? Right, here we go. Good. I don't need to restart it. Right. So basically, they ran a story, which is that Super Smash Brothers was including some DLC from Persona 5, a very popular game. Persona 5. Coming to Switch soon. Obviously, the Persona series hugely popular, so there's going to be this like crossover, which obviously has the additional benefit of, you know, adding a new kind of IP to Super Smash Brothers, but also a very popular one, and it also serves as kind of a marketing ploy for when the game actually does come around. But look, you can see here earlier today an update to Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. Brought the game up to version 3.0 and brought with it several big changes. Players can now create and share custom stages online, which of course has resulted in the usual, you know, moral panic about, oh look, they're drawing penises and people having sex. Pretty much the first thing you do in any freehand mode or any design mode is that you draw a penis. I don't know why that is. It's just a tradition, isn't it? Think about Minecraft. What, you know, what was the first funny thing you saw built in Minecraft that wasn't actually anyone taking? It was a giant cock and balls, wasn't it? Everyone loves a giant cock and balls. I don't know why. It's just one of those things. I guess it says a lot about, you know, the male mentality, doesn't it? Like, for, you know, early cave paintings, just big knobs. Like, it's just ingrained in us to draw penises everywhere. It's almost as if we're sort of defined by our knobs. But anyway, they also had this DLC pack, which is added a character from Persona 5, the protagonist, called Joker. Part of the DLC's pack's addition includes a number of Persona music tracks. And Persona's always been known to having this kind of quirky, obviously, you know, Japanese, but sort of in English kind of soundtracks. Because, you know, it's always running in the background while you're kind of doing things. So the soundtrack's kind of always been a little bit improvisational, a little bit off the wall. And now this music has been included, obviously, in the Super Smash Brothers. Now, it says here, in the track Wake Up, Get Up and Get Out There, if you skip to around 1:48 into the track, you'll reach a section of the song where words are softly spoken rather than sung, and at around 1:57, it appears the term retarded is used, and followed up by the assertion that I can say it. The official lyrics for the song, curiously enough, does not include this spoken word section. This is our transcription of what's said. Now, first of all, try not to laugh at this transcription, because this transcription is absurd just on the surface, because the lyrics make no sense. Now, I mean, I also do want to just add the point being, even if the word retarded is used, understand that the word retard is French for to slow down. I believe it's also used in music. Is a musical term, because I think it might have some sort of Latin, you know, root as well. But retard, it means to, you know, to slow down, to be slow. So it's entirely possible, and I haven't ruled this out yet because we still haven't seen a definitive answer, that it could have been the word. But equally, the word has multiple meanings, multiple contexts. And let's not forget, this is someone from Japan translating into English. So obviously, there could have been a contextual misunderstanding. It does happen. And would it have been the end of the world? Well, absolutely no, it wouldn't have been. And in no way could this have been called a disability slur if that was the case, even if it was the word. The problem is, as we'll see, it isn't the word. But anyway, so these are the lyrics. Oh, hi, are you ready? Ready to pick up the pieces? Let's go, let's play, retarded. I can say it. Are you ready? Now, again, just think about those lyrics for a moment. Let the lyrics kind of sink in. Let the permutation of everything it could mean sink in. How would these lyrics ever make sense? Like, if it was retarded, it just wouldn't. It just wouldn't, would it? So, immediately, your eyebrows should be like, wait, that makes no sense. But here's what I will do, because after I saw this article, I listened to the song. And I'll be honest, I did hear that word. So here it is, embedded. You can just, I'll see if I can get it loud enough for you guys. So, it does sound like it, doesn't it? It's got to be said. It definitely does sound like you can understand why there might have been that misunderstanding surrounding that particular set of lyrics. But anyway, what Kotaku did was they just literally ran the story. The journalist Laura Kate Dale, who we'll talk about in a second because she is a notorious fuck-up and shouldn't have a job. She is a habitual liar. I'll get into all of that. The story is just out there. And look, Super Smash Brothers, this is days later, right? After they've already apologized. Super Smash Brothers Ultimate includes a disability slur. It's completely in the affirmative. It says it absolutely does include a disability slur. It doesn't say it might. It doesn't say it sounds like. There are no kind of caveats of any kind. It just says it does. Absolutely, it does. And they rushed this story out without getting comment from the people who wrote the song, the people who published the game, Nintendo, who distribute the game. They got zero comment whatsoever and just ran the story. Now, let's talk about the mechanics of journalism, right? Let's talk about the mechanics of journalism and how it works. If you are given a story, and Laura Kate Dale said that somebody had reached out to her on Twitter through DMs, and said, hey, have you heard this? Which, by the way, I mean, what a... Like, it just shows how lazy the average journalist is. Like, have you heard the lyrics in this? You know, that's a tip for these people. That's like a hot tip in their little fucking echo chambers, right? So, and then she listened to it and said, hey, it does sound like that. It does sound like they're saying what is now dubbed the R word for some reason, even though that word is just as offensive on a medical basis as cretin or moron. So she then listened to it, agreed that she too heard it, and told her editor. And then Kotaku said, brilliant, let's just run this story. Now, the only reason you would have to push this story out, or any story out, without official comment, would be if it was so earth-shatteringly important, there was a chance maybe another publication beat you to the story, maybe somebody could cover their tracks and hide evidence, maybe it's timely and it's absolutely imperative the public knows about it as soon as possible, if there's an immediate danger or an exploitation of some sort occurring. That's when you rush out a story. That's the only time you should risk being right over being quick. You know, it's always important to be accurate. Very often, if you know how to do your job properly, you can be accurate and quick. Kotaku here decided this was so earth-shatteringly important that they had to rush the story out without doing any due diligence whatsoever. They just said, fuck it, we 100% have to get this out now, today. So they did. And what a waste of fucking time. What a waste of time. Just to mine hate clicks. Now, very quickly, what started people posting What people started to post about this was that, first of all, the lyrics don't say retarded. People were saying retarget, which makes more sense. Let's go, let's play retarget, probably makes more sense within the game. Some people said wreak havoc. I don't hear that at all, and I don't really see how even somebody speaking in a foreign language could mispronounce it to that degree. So I'm not going to sign off on that. But there were a lot of basically people saying like, oh, actually these lyrics are completely different. And as you'll look when you get down into the comments, people really did not like this article, did not approve of this article. And listen, I've listened to Japanese games, and played Japanese games and listened to Japanese soundtracks for a long, long time, almost as long as I've been gaming itself, because of the technological capabilities. You know, back when I was playing on a Spectrum 48K with a rubber keyboard, you didn't even have voices. You couldn't even, that came much later, the digitization of voices. So not as long as I've been playing games, but for as long as they've been around. And, look, there's no getting around it. The Japanese accent struggles with L's and R's in the English language. Of course they do.
You're not even a real Japanese.
You have to understand how far removed the English language.
Love the content.
Thanks a lot, man.
Last BTN was hilarious. Been a fun night of touring alarms for me.
You have to understand how far removed the English language is from Japanese. They struggle with meaning and pronunciation in the same way that, like, we couldn't intuitively look at a pictogram of their alphabet and say, oh, well, this stroke here means that. And that. It's completely different. It has nothing in common. This isn't like going to Europe and, like, listening to German, where, English has a Germanic root. So there is some linguistic crossover, hound, hunt, cheese, Kaiser. There are words which have this very intuitive understanding. Learning German's a lot easier for an English speaker than learning Japanese and vice versa. That's just how it is. So I was amazed because usually the Kotaku readership is so entrenched with the mindset of slurs everywhere, video games are a sewer, gamers are bad, Orange Man bad, everything bad. I honestly expected this to be embraced and people to start attacking Nintendo, Super Smash Brothers, whatever. But that didn't happen. Actually, pretty much every comment I read in the comment chain is entirely negative and just like, this is a fucking joke. This top post here, I'm just going to say it outright. This article really comes off as racist. I will not go so far as to say as mocking somebody's ability to speak English or mocking somebody's language is racist. I will not accept that. But obviously, when you're indoctrinated into everything's racist, any criticism of any culture or anything is racist, this is the type of language that you use. But it says here, you hear a Japanese singer with a heavy accent mangle an English word, knowing full well that Japanese speakers have trouble with L and R sounds, and you immediately assume the song was written and recorded with a full intent of including an ableist slur, as opposed to any number of other vaguely similar sounding English phrases this could have been a mispronunciation of. One that's barely known to Japanese speakers at that. A slur which makes no sense in context and would serve no purpose being in a Japanese game, as its intended audience couldn't understand anyway. It has no relevance to the themes of the song and game it comes from, and you do this without even cursory research into the lyrics first. Why? What purpose does this article serve? Do you have a chip on your shoulder toward the game or its creators, and are you trying to manufacture bias towards it? There are plenty of legitimate issues to criticize Persona 5 for. This is absolutely not one of them, and it's a really low blow to rake Lin, that's the singer, and the songwriter over the coals. Now, that is straight fucking fire. As Kotaku comments go, probably the number one Kotaku comment of all time. And it's so withering and it's so accurate because, again, think of everything that's gone into this premise. You've heard a song lyric. You are assuming a Japanese singer is using the word retarded within the context of it being an ableist slur when they don't speak English as their native tongue, are probably singing a translated lyric. It's in a game with which that slur would have no context, no value, and it's marketed to an audience that primarily doesn't speak English. So basically what this article actually amounts to is, right, this should be the headline: I, Laura Kate Dale, habitual liar and fantasist, misheard a song lyric. Let's generate some outrage about it. That is a more accurate headline for the contents of this article and the premise of this article. And the thing that fucking depresses me so much is this was run by an editor, a guy called Rich Stanton. You might know him. He's been around the block a long time. He's been at numerous publications. I know him. He's, he's a CSGO fan, right? And he has signed off on this and put it out. And I just cannot understand why any editor worth their salt would have done this. Now, there was just so much backlash. I'm going to try and show you some of the responses. In fact, actually, I wonder if it's better to actually just move straight to the apology and talk about that. Because the apology itself is bizarre. They waited a full 24 hours before issuing an apology about this, even though it was abundantly clear that this article should never have seen print. They haven't removed the article on the basis they say they don't delete articles because it is wrong and it hides accountability. I respect that. But why is the first thing I still read on the article now, two full days later, why is the first thing not the correction and the link to an apology? Which is literally how you are obliged and ethically obliged to do with any other publication. Okay. This is the apology. It's some of the most passive-aggressive bullshit I've ever read. It is barely an apology at all. They really need to issue an apology for the apology at this point. Yesterday, we published an article about the inclusion of a Persona 5 song in the latest Super Smash Bros. Ultimate DLC. Several readers have contacted us about a lyric that appeared to be a disability slur, and on listening to the section in question, this appeared plausible. Again, I want to remind you, you do not publish news, and right, reporting is a factually accurate account of the record that stands throughout history. So when you misreport something, it is grotesque. It is an affront to everything that journalism is about. It is a violation of the core tenet of what journalism is. So you do not publish on what seems plausible, right? You publish on what is true, factually accurate, and verifiable. These are the words that you use. So there is no excuse to ever publish something on it sounds plausible. For example, I'm going to pick someone in my chat. Let's not pick a sub. We'll pick Bummy0514. Well, I think it's plausible with a name like that, that you could be a closet homosexual. So now I'm going to publish it. I'm going to publish an article now. Bummy0514 must come out the closet to do right by the gay community. Okay? Now, here's what would happen there, Bummy, my old friend. You would sue me into oblivion. There's just no doubt you would win. You would be able to prove ineptitude, possibly malice, because they didn't do my due diligence. You would probably be able to prove damages. Let's say it happened that you were a church deacon and happily married, right? What seems plausible is irrelevant. It is what is factually accurate. To have plausibility as a standard for publication in reporting is a joke. It is ghastly, and there is no excuse for an editor, because this is indeed issued by Rich Stanton, saying that. It's embarrassing, frankly. His bosses should probably send him on a training course, That's what I would recommend if I was his boss. Anyway, what was even more confusing is that this spoken word section was omitted from the official lyrics. I remind you again, ladies and gentlemen, that omission doesn't mean you are trying to hide something. Something not being there doesn't mean there's a cover-up in place. You must prove why it is omitted. You must try and find a non-omitted or redacted version. That is what you must be going on. The fact that the lyrics are omitted should only add weight to the fact you must not publish.
You're not even a real journalism. That's right.
Shitty writers and fake written articles name a more iconic duo.
Thank you, Jerky's Minion. 21 months. Love you, brother. Glad you're feeling better. Again, imagine how embarrassing it is in the opening paragraph. You pretty much, while you're apologizing and trying to say, hey, we screwed up with that persona lyric, you actually give the proof of why you screwed up, and that is because you don't understand journalistic methodology. And it's embarrassing that here we are, this time of night, about 400 people in the chat. I guarantee every one of you understands this, and this is coming from an editor. So we contacted Atlas and Nintendo for comment before publication, but we published the article before a response was received. Now, we know you did that. The question is why? The question is why? What impetus, what drive, what possible reason could you have for that being the case? And you can see here, and as the subsequent fallout has shown, that was a mistake. Again, irrelevant to fallout, there was no need for you to rush this story to publication. None at all. I'm the editor of the site, and ultimately that means this error is down to me and me alone. Many of you have suggested alternative readings for the lyric, from retort it or retardendo to retard it, with retard in the context of a technical musical term. All of which, by the way, make infinitely more sense than the idea you would just go retarded. It just doesn't make sense, right? We asked Nintendo both for an official transcription of the lyric and for an explanation as to why this section of the song is omitted from the official lyric transcription. We've now received the following reply. We checked with Atlas, who confirmed that the actual lyrics of the song do not include the word retarded. Frustratingly, this does not clear up the confusion over what the singer is actually saying. Now, again, remember, my friend Richard and Kotaku UK, this is an apology. I don't give a fuck about your frustration. Your frustration pales into insignificance at the frustration of somebody you have smeared because you couldn't do your job correctly, despite it being very simple. You've proven after the fact that you knew who to reach out for, that you had channels of communication open. You just didn't do it. You wanted to get this story out. And listen, I'll probably tell you why. And this is where I will sympathize a little bit with anybody at one of these shit rags, because I've done it myself. It's the 20th of April. It's the midway point of April. Maybe your targets are down, because every editor has a page impression target for all of these ads that you see. You must generate X amount of hits. And if you're behind a hate click festival like this, is it's gold. So maybe he was worried about never getting the story over the line, and he rushed it because he's behind on his monthly target. That doesn't excuse terrible journalism, but it certainly explains why you see it so often. We accept this article was a mistake. Publish in haste, as they say, and repent at leisure. I've never heard that phrase before. It's actually a phrase which I've heard, and etymologically speaking, it is very, very old indeed. I think it goes to kind of like late medieval times in Britain. It was marry in haste, repent at leisure. Basically meaning if you rush into marriage, if you rush to marry a wife, because it was a very male-centric society back then, you will probably regret it. I've never heard it applied to publishing But I guess it does make sense. You know, if you rush to publish, you might be repenting and apologizing for a long, long time indeed. I honestly think it's irrelevant to Kotaku's reputation at this point, though. We would like to apologize to Atlus, Nintendo, and the many Persona fans who are angry about this piece. It looks like we got it wrong. Again, just we got it wrong. Will do. Not it looks like. Not, hey guys, there's still a chance we might be right, and it's really frustrating for us. Own it. Apologize. You did get it wrong. You did. Say it after me, games journalists. We were wrong. It's not hard. It doesn't kill you. The reason that you have had diminishing credibility since 2014 is that your little cabal of freaks and losers attacks anybody who has the audacity to point out that you might be wrong and not doing your job properly, which is all Gamergate ever was. You still harp on about it to this day. Why is it so difficult for you guys to admit you were wrong? Even in an apology, you cannot do it. It is a pathology of games journalists that they just simply cannot. Finally, the original has been updated to reflect this statement and link back to this apology. I mean, we just looked at it. It was at the bottom. It should be the first thing you see. However, we've recently been making back-end improvements to our site and an unfortunate consequence. How? I mean, again, do you guys believe in coincidences? Because very often a coincidence, all right. They're just coincidences. But sometimes the coincidence is so staggeringly absurd that it's hard for me to believe. So in this instance, what I'm supposed to believe, what you're supposed to believe, is that Kotaku in action, while rushing out a story they desperately wanted to mine hate clicks and outrage clicks from, also were updating their website, and a glitch with that update means that they can't actually correct their original article to reflect the apology at the top, despite them having said that we did update the article. That's a massive didn't happen for me. Sorry, Rich, when you invariably watch this. No, that's garbage. I don't believe it. I'm sorry. I don't. I can't. It's ridiculous. So an unfortunate consequence is a new problem where updates are taking quite a while to appear. We will quash the gremlin, but until then, the site is slow to update. This has been the subject of conspiracy theories. Some of you simply demand that we delete the article. But Kotaku UK does not delete articles. On the internet, what would be the point anyway? We admit our mistakes, own them, and update the original to reflect new information. The original article has now been updated, but as we say... do you mean a playthrough? Good question. The original article has now been updated, but as we say, it may take a while before it shows. We hold our hands up with this one. You deserve better, and we'll strive to do better. So listen. How about this for the compromise, then? Your website is currently displaying out-of-date and erroneous information that is smearing somebody. Why not take the page down until your website fixes? That seems to me a responsible workaround. But no, you won't do it, and you're trying to make out that it's because you have editorial standards, which, if it was true, wouldn't be. This article would never have seen print. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So yes, they should have definitely took the article down temporarily, in my opinion. Now, this is where it gets super interesting, guys, because remember how I was telling you about, the responses to it. Well, we actually had a official response here. Let me just, this was a response from Erica Harlacher. Erica Harlacher, if I understand correctly, she is one of the voice actors in Persona, right? And she had this to say. I'm glad there was an apology, but the reasoning for not deleting the original article seems very thin. At least put the edit and link to this at the top of the other article. Some people won't read to the bottom, and the original article is entirely false. Have a great day. I mean, how can you not agree with that? It's ridiculous. Absolutely absurd. And then let's also talk about the response from the author, because I think it's very important that we talk about Laura Kate Dale. Now, Laura Kate Dale, full disclosure before we get into this part of the story, she is not somebody I have any respect for at all. And this was compounded by the situation that arose between her and John / Total Biscuit as he was suffering from stage 4 cancer. And I don't know if you guys are aware of that situation. We'll get into it in a little bit. But basically, she wrote an article where it was an interview with John, and John was talking about a problem that faces any public figure, being hated and harassed online. And because they didn't write a hit piece, and it was just a genuine kind of presentation of John's thoughts about it, written by Laura Kate Dale, who was a friend and colleague of John's and someone John had always looked out for, and was actually probably the reason why, if you remember when there was that guy who got up at the convention and asked, are traps gay? And basically TB said, yo, like, get this guy out, that's transphobic. I still to this day don't understand why he was that, why he put himself in that position. And it was very bizarre, especially given everything that was going on in his life at the time. I wish he hadn't have done that, but I also understand that it was probably because of this relationship to this person who he considered a friend, that it had made him very aware of the potential transphobic content contained within that question. It was, so he did that, you know. Right. So the idea that him and her, you know, have this like bad, fractious relationship is ridiculous. And I thought he was a very good friend to her, all things considered. The reward for that was where Anita Sarkeesian and Brianna Wu and all these fucking losers who, because Gamergate made them the center of attention for their little 15 minutes of fame in 2014, which is why they constantly keep banging on about it and keep pretending that actually Gamergate was a Russian psyop.
Recently discovered Donut Operator's channel.
Oh, Donut Operator's
really
a cool guy.
Cool that you two crossed paths. Mm. I went back and watched the interview and enjoyed it. Less than three.
We actually keep in touch. A little interesting tidbit of information about me and Donut Operator. Because of his SWAT team expertise and the fact he plays PUBG, one of my ideas when I did the PUBG event with WSOE was to bring in Donut Operator as an analyst and basically look at like clips of play where like people might use flashbangs, you know, and talk about it like genuinely from a tactical perspective. But people didn't want to do that because of the whole negativity towards guns and whatnot.
Turkey hide. Turkey is guilty of genocide. April 24th, 1915. Never again rest. In. Peace to the million Armenians. 600,000 Greeks. 400,000 Assyrians lost in that decade.
Thanks for the donation and making people aware of a terrible atrocity that took place. Anyway, so, you know, what Laura Kate Dale did was when Anita Sarkeesian came out and said, how dare you? Actually, how dare you? Why isn't this a hit piece against John? Why aren't you saying he promoted Gamergate? Why aren't you saying all of these things? Laura Kate Dale turned around, threw John under the bus, and basically said, yeah, actually, I should have done that, and I'm disassociating myself from John. She chose the cabal over a guy who had been a great friend to her and actually promoted her work. She's got no moral backbone, no backbone. She's a piece of shit, right? That's before we get into the fact that she's an habitual liar. So I think it's important for you guys to know that I am biased. I cannot stand this individual. I think she is garbage. And I think her work is garbage, and I think she shouldn't have a job. So anyway. But let's get to what she had to say, because she, remember, she's an habitual liar, as I'll prove in a second. She was trying to make out that actually she had done good journalism and Kotaku had basically fucked her over, which raises more questions. So Laura Kate Dale posted this comment from another Facebook group and said, comment I posted elsewhere. I'm in a shitty situation. I'm banned from publicly responding. Trust me, I know this looks fucking banned. I'm in a no-win situation. Here's the thing, Laura. You should have just not even submitted this piece until it was finished. I mean, but sure, your editor should have protected you and told you this isn't ready to go. It's definitely a twin fuck up. I love kind of funny. That's the Facebook group she's posting to. Please don't make me feel like I have to flee this group too, because as I said, she is a coward with no backbone. And all she does is every time she fucks up, she just puts herself protected or says, hey, I'm going offline, and there's zero accountability, and she tries to play victim. But here she is there saying, hey all, yes, I'm a member here. Time to say what my boss has forbidden me to say on Twitter. Now, again, imagine doing this. Let's assume she's telling the truth, which don't assume she's telling the truth, because she's a liar. Let's assume she is. Your bosses have explicitly said, don't respond to this publicly. This is public. It doesn't matter if it's a private group for friends. Addressing a group of people is speaking publicly. So you are now acting against the, you know, forbid expectations, command of your employers. So she says here, hey all, yeah, I'm a member here. Time to say what my boss forbid me to say on Twitter. We received an email from a disabled gamer. And again, love this idea that people with disabilities are out there getting offended over words and, offended over Sekiro not having an easy mode. Stop using people with disabilities as your fucking shields, games journalists. Like, can you just stop it? It's so repugnant. And I've yet to meet anybody. When you overcome a disability, you're generally made of stone. You are generally very thick-skinned and very often will make jokes at your expense that often make able-bodied people feel uncomfortable, as not just as a coping mechanism, but as a way to bridge that gap of don't pity me. Because the last thing disabled people want or deserve is your pity. It's pathetic, you know? I say this as somebody who has very disabled family members, both physically and mentally, somebody who worked in a school for special needs children. I am very sensitively attuned to this stuff. I have never met a disabled person who's gone, that word retarded's a big problem, isn't it? They know. You know, they're worried about genuine things like accessibility, like wheelchair ramps and, access to education that can meet their needs, being catered for in jobs, having employment, having housing benefits, having carers so they can actually live a life that sort of resembles yours or mine with just a little bit of assistance. No, they don't sit around listening to song lyrics going, I'm outraged about this. So let's not pretend it was a disabled person, Laura. You're full of shit. I don't believe you. Yeah, and of course, there's the other one. Cheap medication. You know, these things matter. We as a society should care about those things. Not did this Japanese song use a word that us in the West thinks is taboo now. No, that is not helping your friends, your family, your fellow man with, you know, who are struggling with disabilities. It is a pathetic inclusion. I listened and could certainly hear what was suggested, so I asked my boss for his opinion. He ran with it, insisted it was 100% this, told me to write it up. My initial draft was lots of appears-to-be statements, which is, I mean, if it has to be published at all, that is the only way it can be published and meet anything close to a journalistic standard. It was a call to discussion, a far less certain piece. And listen, again, it's reporting, Laura. Reporting, its function isn't a call to discussion. Reporting is an accurate reflection of the factual record in that moment in time that will remain on the record. So generations later, we can come back and look at what was happening at that time in relation to that subject, and we can still get a factually accurate account that exists throughout history. It's not, hey, this might be true, so let's talk about it. That isn't reporting, that is editorial, that is opinion, that, again, you clearly do not understand the basics of journalism. You're a disgrace to your profession. You need to go to school and learn about this. The end. Because you clearly don't understand. My boss took out all the seems to be statements and said it live prior to me hearing back from my comment requests. I wanted to wait. It was already after 6 p.m. on Thursday, pre-bank holiday. We were not going to get a reply from PR until at least Tuesday. He knows this. And then this is the final part of her statement, where again she blames the editor entirely. I specifically said my boss didn't want to publish until that issue was fixed in case we got a comment from the publishers, but could not update the post to include their response. Once it went up and the backlash happened, I tried to explain some of these facts. I got an email from my boss saying I was throwing him under the bus and making the site look bad. I was ordered by my boss to delete my tweets and not defend myself any further. In short, I wrote something questioning about a lyric that sounded bad. The boss ignored my warning, made it definitive, won't let me walk it back or say anything, and I'm just stuck taking the blame for things I'm not allowed to correct. In an article my boss altered, pushed out, and doesn't have to take any flack for. So, if this was coming from any other source, I'd probably believe it. This has actually happened to me before. I've left jobs over this happening to me. Most famously was when I was the head of feature writing for the Championship Gaming series. And my editor didn't want to publish an article. I refused to submit another. So they got somebody else to ghostwrite an article and put my name on it. I quit over that. And I would say any journalist worth their salt would, even if it means you're staring into the breadline and staring into, potential employment or whatever, or maybe not getting a job for a while. Some things are too important. Equally as well, if I've had it where I have written game reviews, submitted it, parts have been redacted, scores have been changed, and when I've asked why, my editor has told me, we really need to give that game a good review or we won't get any more free games from that developer. Also a thing that happens. And again, games journalists pretend this doesn't happen. Happens all the time. So nobody wants to be on the blacklist from a big developer and lose access to content in a traffic-driven business. So I have stood up for that and talked about that publicly, that it happened to me, and certainly tried to do all I could internally. It got to a stage where what I started doing was, knowing that it would happen, I changed my score to reflect the reduction in score that would come. 70s, you know, when I was submitting 70, it was 60s that would get bumped up to 70s. What I started doing was started submitting 50s, knowing they get bumped up to 70s anyway, or 60s or whatever. So, you know, there was always a workaround. So if this was coming from anyone but Laura Kate Dale, I would absolutely believe this was true. And if it is, honestly, the editor needs to be fired. Because this is malpractice. This is, right, one of the first roles an editor has is certainly to protect their journalists. You'll have seen me, you know, even when I'm a desk host, I can't get away from that mindset. Because that's what I was brought up with. You know, back when people used to criticize Jacob Wolf when he worked, you know, with me at Esports Heaven, Josh Raven, you know, Jeff Kim, whoever it would be, whichever one of my proteges it was, I would be the guy who would come out and address public criticism and say, do not criticize the journalist. I choose to publish their work. Final say lies with me. You are criticizing me. And I am widely recognized as the greatest journalist that, you know, esports has ever had. So if you think I don't know what I'm doing, then you don't think any of us know what we're doing, and in which case, your criticism is completely invalid. And I would go to the wall for my staff, because what else are you supposed to do as an editor? So that's rule number one. Rule number two, where reporters forget or get excited, and they maybe lose sight of journalistic ethics, journalistic methodology, journalistic practice, you as the editor are supposed to ground them and reinforce them. So you as the editor shouldn't be going, hey, let's just rush this out. You should be telling the writer, the reporter, no, we can't rush this out. We need those comments to come back. I'm going to have to shelve this until you get them. So if her account is true, Rich Stanton must be disciplined, probably fired, honestly. It is such a grotesque transgression of everything that is sacred to the journalistic profession. Which, by the way, I also want to remind you, as hard as it is to accept, when you adopt the mantle of journalist, in that work, you kind of cease to be a person. It's in the same way as, like, when you say, hey, I'm a doctor, or hey, I'm a teacher. There comes with it this additional set of ethics. And you might say, teachers are people too. Well, no, because a person, right, that is, let's say a very large school kid, is verbally berating you and you don't know how old they are because you're not a teacher and they threaten you or attack you, you might put your hands on that child and it could very, very easily be ruled self-defense. You know, let's say they're 14, 15, maybe 16, a regular person, you would go, oh, he didn't know how old they were. He felt threatened. He put hands on the kid. It's not ideal, but he used reasonable force. So it's all okay. If you're a teacher, you must never put your hands on a child. The end. Never. Never. And if you do, you probably lose your job. If you're a doctor, you try not to form attachments. You have to be very cold, very clinical. The thing they call a bedside manner. Something no reasonable person would ever do, but is actually an essential function of being a doctor. When you're a journalist, the person has to be shelved when we start talking about you within the context of journalism. I'll show you a letter I wrote to Kotaku, actually, when we get to the end of this. I was weighing up whether I will. I repeat a lot of this in it. And you guys can judge whether or not, it's a lesson that'll stick. But anyway, let's just get back to Laura Kate Dale. Let's just talk about her and her background and why all the work she does should really be taken with an unbelievable grain of salt. Let me just find it. And I also just want to promote, I started digging into this while I was, because I knew her name from all the stuff with Total Biscuit and everything else besides. There is a journalist called Sophia Narwitz that you can check out. She definitely deserves more attention than she gets. She's written some very good articles. She wrote an article all about this called The Questionable Ethics of Laura Kate Dale. I'll probably take some links from this piece. Go follow her. It's SophNar0747 on Twitter. Show her some love. Show her some respect. Her work's very good. And her moral compass is certainly aligned in the correct fashion that she's able to do journalism. But anyway, let's talk about Laura Kate Dale. Now, Laura Kate Dale, you're going to be like, maybe I do know that name. Maybe I've heard of her before. Well, let's go way back to 2013, pre-Gamergate, in fact. And again, it just goes to show that people who were presiding as games journalists, Gamergate didn't just crop up overnight. There were a lot of problems with games journalism, a lot of problems with corporate ties, just dishonesty, nepotism, cronyism. It was rotten to the core. Anyway, I'll take you back to 2013. Laura Kate Dale attended an Xbox Live One event in London, and she took to Twitter and said that a comedian who was hosting the event had said to her during a bit of interaction with the crowd, had referred to her, because Laura is somebody who has transitioned, as a he, an it, a thing, and this one, while she was on stage, and insisted that while she was on stage, this comedian said, "We need a woman on stage. Are there any women here?" Now, let me tell you, I know you're going to go, "Oh, Richard, you're getting all a bit social justice." Had anybody said that to anyone publicly while they're hosting an event, that is a disgrace. That would be an absolute disgrace. That would be so callous, inhumane, and disgusting. And listen, you're going to go, "Oh, but aren't you friends with Milo, though?" Yeah, and I've said the exact same about him, and I've said the exact same thing to him. There's a video of him where he's talking about the trans movement at colleges, which has its own problems. And he pointed to a student who was in the very early stages of transitioning and was mocking this person to an audience, basically saying, look at her, she looks like a man. It's disgusting. It's just a terrible way to treat somebody. It really is. And, you know, I'm all for forgiving an accidental slip of pronouns. I absolutely think it is just morally disgraceful to mock somebody on that basis, knowing as well the suicide rates for trans people. What you're doing is just so needlessly cruel, and it achieves no end whatsoever. It doesn't make your point stronger. So I will point that out for anybody. I will point that out for anybody. But here's the thing. This didn't happen. This isn't true. She used and leveraged her relationships to basically get the story written up. The usual offenders. Trans woman says she was dehumanized on stage at Xbox One event, wrote the Daily Dot. Pink News, obviously an LGBT specific publication, grabbed the story. Trans journalist says she was completely dehumanized by Xbox One presenter at gaming convention. And Kotaku themselves, because why wouldn't they? Somebody they now employ, Xbox One presenter humiliated me on stage, says transgender journalist. Update. Some allegations recanted. Let's get to that, because when you say some allegations recanted, ooh, what allegations were recanted? Well, here's what happened. Here's what actually happened. Fraser Millwood, who was the person who was the presenter in question, had used the phrase, this person. He said, this person over here. That was the quote. That's what he said. This person. Now, there is nothing misgendering, transphobic, or anything else about the phrase this person. In fact, I would go so far as to say, in a world with 63 recognized genders in certain states and everything else, how else can you possibly negotiate it? In a world where gender fluidity exists and people literally say, I woke up today and I was a woman, but then my mood changed and now I'm a man, how can you possibly negotiate pronouns without risking getting something wrong? And people say misspeaking is transphobia. So the best way to negotiate that very complex minefield is obviously to use neutral terms. Is to use neutral terms, and neutral terms would be this person. Does anybody, I mean, obviously there will be people who do this practically, but does anybody dispute, be you, you know, male, female, non-binary? Does anyone dispute that we are people, right? To not use the word this person would actually be dehumanizing. To use the word this over there, you know, that would be dehumanizing. This person. And we all agree that that is what this comedian said. Even Laura Kate Dale admitted that's what they said. So this isn't, by definition, transphobic. And she released a statement where she admitted, I lied. Okay? I want you to think about what this means. Here we go. I think the statement will be in here. Right. Here we go. So first of all, the comedian Millwood said, no offense was intended when I referred to Laura Kate Dale as this person after I asked the audience to applaud her. Yes, by the way, he was trying to be inclusive and progressive and said, hey, and what about this person here in regards to questions about more women being involved in gaming and more women being involved in journalism? And he said this person because he wanted to make sure that he didn't fuck up on the pronouns, and everybody actually clapped and gave her applause, and her response to that was to make up a lie that she had been dehumanized. And I would like to take this opportunity to apologize for any offense and hurt I may have caused. There'll be no further comment or response regarding the matter. So then Laura Kate Dale reached out to Millwood and reached out to everybody, and they agreed, let's release a joint statement. And that joint statement said, Laura Kate Dale and Fraser Millwood have come to agree that the situation which took place at the Xbox stand at Eurogamer on Sunday, 29th of September, was an unfortunate misunderstanding on both sides. What a wonderful way to absolve her of lying. Because remember what she said? She said she had been called he. No, didn't happen. Thing didn't happen. She lied. This isn't a misunderstanding. This was a malicious lie for attention. The end. That is the only way it can be characterized. Again, the fact that Millwood has actually allowed her to sort of just say it was a misunderstanding and sign off on that to make it go away shows you how powerful and life-destructive these cabals can be. Because I would have raked this fucking bitch over the coals. She would have regretted the day she fucking lied and smeared me publicly. And that is the only way to treat me scum. That is the only way. You use your platform to tell a lie about me, I will fucking end you. I will lawyer up. I will see you bankrupt and destitute. The end. And that's what anybody should have done. It has now been made clear that Fraser did not refer to Laura as an it or a thing or a he, and these claims have been fully retracted by Laura, and she is sorry for the hurt this caused. She has libeled someone. She has defamed someone and has admitted she did that. Why is she employed as a journalist? Does anybody know? Imagine. On record, having admitted you told a lie about someone to just to hurt them and get attention for yourself, and you are employed as a journalist. Imagine that. Imagine it. And then, because it's Kotaku, they added this. While we believe it's important to report about issues of discrimination... Oh, sorry, no, this part. After the story was published, Dale stated she wished it hadn't run. Oh, imagine that. Imagine wishing you having to recant your statement, you fucking lying bitch, trying to ruin someone's life. Imagine it. Imagine you wish that hadn't run. I'm pretty sure he wished it hadn't run. He didn't say that. He had the class to let you walk back your statements, your lies. As it sparked numerous hateful messages sent in her direction. I can't imagine why the general public would hate people lying and smearing innocent people. I've never seen people get upset by that before. She asked for her story to be pulled, and while Kotaku has a policy against pulling articles, we've updated it as described in the editor's note below. And the editor's note says, and again, to diminish the harassment sent her way. I mean, straight up, right? Fuck you. There's no getting away from the fact you deserve to be criticized for this. While we believe that it's important to report about issues of discrimination in gaming, we've decided not to link to Dale's Twitter account directly to diminish the amount of harassment she's received since the publication of this story. We encourage all readers, even those who disagree with the issues at hand, to remember that these are human beings on the other end of your online comments. Do you know who needs to be thought about as a human being? The guy whose life you tried to fucking ruin with these lies. Not you who told the lies. Him, he who you lied about. So that's the first thing. This would be enough. This would be enough for me to say, fuck her forever. She must never be allowed to work in any serious publication. Because once you cross the threshold as a journalist and knowingly tell a lie, that's it. Your trust is compromised forever. No one should believe a word that comes out of your mouth when you do a job where telling the truth is the only thing that is important. And it is important above all other things. So there was that. But then, she was doing another podcast or something, because she's quite cozy with a lot of people, and she so I think it might have been on a Jimquisition podcast. She claimed that while she was at E3, somebody tried to kidnap her. Right now, what does that even mean? Like, what are you saying here? So look, right? Somebody brought this up on Twitter. Ask Laura Capers about almost getting kidnapped. E3 is cursed. And somebody said, what the fuck? I didn't hear about this. Are you okay? I had a driver pass my place, the drop-off point, hit the button to say he dropped me off, and then just kept driving on the highway. Was pretty terrifying. Reported driver, but not dealt with the police, as did not want to deal with them. And then somebody, like... Right? Yes. Imagine trying to prove malice from across the ocean while in a hospital bed. Right. Where to even begin with this? Where to even begin with this claim and why it's a very obvious lie? Right. So first of all, while I am sure you have read in many countries about Uber drivers violating Uber policies, you know, very often in some countries they have weak background checks. For example, in Uber Egypt, there was a spate of sexual assaults that took place between Uber drivers. Think about the mechanics of a kidnapping, right? Think about that. Think about the mechanics of a kidnapping. Think about reasons why you would kidnap someone. And then understand why the worst possible way to kidnap someone would be if you were an Uber driver. So think about it. You pick somebody up. First, you drive them to their destination. You then press the button to say you dropped them off. Then you lock the car door and you drive off with a passenger still inside. So now... I mean, understand everything you do while you're on Uber can be tracked. So we know exactly where you picked the victim up from. We know exactly where you were last seen and where you pressed the button to go off the grid. We know what type of car you drive. We know your name. When you register at Uber, you have to give identification. Drivers have to give a photograph of themselves and provide photo ID because they withdraw money from the account. We know your bank account balance. We know your address as a result of that. I mean, it's just staggering. It's staggering. I'm not saying it never happened. But the idea that in America, you know, of all places, at E3, of all places, an Uber driver just decided, I'm not going to drop her off, actually, I'll just kidnap her instead. Absolute gibberish. Then on top of that, right, you manage to get out. So partway through the kidnapping, the kidnapper goes, you know what, just not in for a kidnapping and possible murder today. I can't be bothered. Yep, sorry about that, love. I was going to kidnap you, but I'm not going to do that now. All right, sorry. Bit weird, I know. I just had this urge. Like, I've never even had it before. Are we cool? All right, no worries. So, do you want me to drop you off at the actual... No, okay, you walk. Yeah, understandable, all things good. Sorry about that, love. Sorry. You get out the car. You know everything about the driver. Name, license plate, last known location. You then decide, because you're going into hospital back home in a different country, I'm definitely not reporting it to the police. Meaning that anybody that this guy subsequently does kidnap or do anything to is totally on you, because you could have nipped it in the bud as kind of like the first survivor or whatever. You then don't report the police because you can't be bothered proving malice. You seem confused, Laura, because you only have to prove malice in American defamation cases. You certainly don't have to prove malice in an attempted kidnapping. You just say, this guy attempted to kidnap me. They can coordinate it from GPS, GPRS records and everything else that happened. He might even have had a cam in the car, which would have exonerated him, because this is an obvious lie. But no, this was another ploy for attention. This is nonsense. This didn't happen. There's no evidence to suggest it happened. You didn't even report it to the police. You had no interest in that. I wonder why. Let me just also add, if anybody attempts to kidnap you and then for some reason you break free, you owe it to society to report that guy to the police. Just to let you know, like, you didn't already know that, right? But yes, because if they do it again, maybe the next person isn't so lucky. If I was an editor, that immediately would have been, listen, we need to conduct an investigation into this. She has written or contributed to a bunch of books that she's supposedly written. She's been involved in a bunch of Kickstarters, where, of course, we have no idea, and GoFundMes, we have no idea if that money ever made it to the destination that it did. Indeed, she also claimed to be doing one for a homeless man. We haven't seen the results of that. That's fine. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. There's no evidence to suggest there was anything untoward about this. But also, she is just a serial hit piece writer and piece of shit. Now, for somebody that is always talking about harassment and how bad harassment is, and how she always goes offline and protected, and she uses block bots, and she always talks about how horrible it is, she has written some unbelievable articles as well that certainly promote harassment by her own definition. There was this piece that she did where, I don't know if you saw this furor at the time, and this is absolutely ridiculous. So there's a game called Dream Daddy. It's a gay dating visual novel. Many people have asked me to play it on stream for reasons that I'll leave up to you. But she is the journalist, the writer that did a piece. Why gender swap Dream Daddy art bothers me as a trans person, because somebody did a female version called Dream MILF. And she wrote a whole article saying that this artist was transphobic for doing that. And look, artists can create whatever they want, but those works never exist in a vacuum. The context of trans people having to fight for their gender to be recognized means that naturally many will find gender swapped art of trans character offensive because of what it implies. Well, what does it imply? That gender isn't like some immutable fixed thing. I would have thought the trans lobby would definitely be on board with that. Apparently not. Apparently. No, actually, when you just willy-nilly change gender, that's transphobic. When you actually change gender, that's a right that you have, and to say that that is wrong is transphobic. I really struggle to know where the line is these days. Very hard, because there is no logic. It is just a doctrine, just commandments that are read to you, and the commandment will completely contradict each other. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt kill anyone labeled a Nazi. And three, anybody can be labeled a Nazi. And you go, wait, these commandments seem slightly contradictory, sir. You are a racist and Nazi apologist. Like, wait a minute. All you have to do, if you want a ideology, is at least make it hermetically sealed and logically consistent. That's all you have to do with any of it. It's dead easy. But wokeness is almost like a type of mental illness right now. This is nothing to do with... We'll wrap this up before I go off on one of my famous tangents. But, I've talked a lot about social media and how it creates, very strange, states of cognitive dissonance that leads to very protracted mental illness. And there's no doubt in my mind that this clamor to sort of be woke, you have to hold so many contradictory thoughts in your brain and be able to parrot and repeat them at any time. It's making people mentally ill. Wokeness is like, in the same way that we now have, there's a lot of, and I was talking about this very early on, Trump derangement syndrome, and now psychiatrists are coming out saying, we are actually treating people for Trump derangement syndrome. I told you. And it's not Donald Trump who made everybody mentally ill. It's a 24-hour news cycle, social media, constant access and connection to the internet. These things combined are making people mentally ill in a variety of ways. And it's the theme of that mental illness. They all have the same symptoms. They all manifest themselves in the same way. But it's like the fixation is what changes. And you have to hold, like you say, so many contradictory ideas in your brain that it's impossible to be sane at the end. You can't do it. How do you hold in your head that real people can change gender and we should respect and support that, but you cannot change a drawing's gender because it is derogatory to real people who want to change gender? How do you hold that thought process in your mind without having to admit it's illogical, and the fact that I'm adamantly fighting and as if it is logical suggests I'm mentally ill? Just think about it. Just let it sink in. Let it wash over you. And then vow to yourself, I will never be woke. Because to do it is to invite serious disturbance into your mental health. So anyway, you know, Laura Kate Dale, like, has done a lot of stuff. Let me also just find the whole Total Biscuit thing for you. This was it. So remember, I told you she wrote that article about Total Biscuit. The editor, who was also named in this, Rich Stanton, he actually wrote an editorial apology that is infinitely more sincere than the one he wrote for the Persona thing over simply interviewing Total Biscuit. It is mind-blowing. I'll read it to you. Yesterday, we published an article which has attracted a great deal of anger, and I wanted to address that as soon as possible. The piece in question is an interview with John Bain, aka Total Biscuit, a YouTube personality and PC gaming critic, on the subject of harassment in gaming communities, and specifically the mod tools available to creators and how they could be improved. The subject of online harassment is the focus of an ongoing series of articles on Kotaku UK that before this had covered smaller creators who have found themselves vulnerable to abuse. The interview was published because it provided a different perspective on the failures of online tools in managing harassment, and probably the only valid perspective, because John received harassment like pretty much no one I've ever seen online. And the fact that he always took it on the chin and always stood up to it, it helped define me as a person. So that's the Kotaku nonsense. That's from beginning to end. Oh, no, it isn't. I nearly forgot. I hope you like my reading voice. I missed out the final part of the fucking story. Now, I'm going to do this as classily as I can. But I was checking my website emails, because occasionally I get like fan email on there. So I always check it from time to time. A lot of people reach out to me there. And let me find it. I was going through, and I actually had an email from Rich Stanton responding to my tweet, and I'm not going to read anything he said, but Rich Stanton, the editor of Kotaku. So I wrote him a long letter. I was sat there, and I was like, okay, you know, you're only going to get one shot at, like, you know, shaking these people by the lapels, but I will always try and save a journalist. You know, like Luke Skywalker is always like, nah, there's good in him, I can sense it. I always kind of feel that way about journalists, because nobody gets into journalism without wanting to do good work or without having some kernel of goodness and understanding the job. It's like they get corrupted and twisted somewhere along the way. So I wrote another letter, which I should I read? I don't know. Let's do it, I guess. I'm always amazed when I hear from a native games journalist. For the most part, I am persona non grata, pre-blocked on Twitter, and not considered one of the fold, despite the fact I started games reviews in 1999. Usually the only time they contact me is for comment on the latest hit piece or to try and worm their way into esports. Occasionally, though, I do get emails like this, and I appreciate them. And you might not appreciate the reply so much, but understand it isn't aimed at you as it is the part of you that is an agent for the destruction of good journalism.
You are a legend.
All right, thank you, Doddy415. Undoubtedly, assuming you as editor-in-chief signed off on that garbage persona story, that is what you are. Maybe you don't realize it, like a Manchurian candidate programmed to murder what little vestige of credibility the Games Press has left. Maybe you honestly think you were doing good work and that story was in some way important. But you'd be wrong on all counts, of course, and it must be horrible to be so sure you're one of the good guys and then contribute something as bad as this. So I'll address the first point as to why I object to the story. You say I'd be surprised if you hear anything else other than the word retarded in the song. And you're right. I heard it too. I can't rightly say if I wouldn't have if I hadn't have been primed by the headline and the outrage, but I did hear it. And the next logical question anyone should ask is, so fucking what? Really? So what if you heard the word retarded in the song lyrics? A song that was being performed by a non-English speaker whose native tongue is so far removed from the Germanic root of ours that they wouldn't even necessarily understand the basic building blocks of language any more than you or I could look at a pictogram and intuitively deduct why it takes the form it does and what it all means. The reality is that what you hear is not an objective reality. And then there's like a weird bit where I do like a halfway through the sentence and I say, there's only really a story. And I use the word story reluctantly because I don't know if it deserves such a lofty term. I guess it was the standard tiresome farming for outrage clicks. Big company has questionable content. Let's make them apologize. Let's show everyone we still have power. The type of work that is one step up from using an advanced Twitter search to check if someone used a slur 8 years ago and forgot to delete it. Congratulations. Awards beckon. But there is only a story if it actually says the bad word, one that is equally as bad as cretin or moron or many other words to describe the stupid, if you logically apply etymologically driven outrage. And as the editor, your only course of action is to wait until you can confirm that it actually says what you think it does. I mean, if you're trying to justify running with it regardless, I think you must be trying to convince yourself through repetition. No editor or journalist, and certainly not me, would approve of the fact that you rushed out a story based on what you thought you heard. What time crunch were you up against? Why couldn't this earth-shattering bit of news have waited? Why was this treated like a huge scoop? This story is throwaway garbage, even if it was completely accurate and verified. If you can explain why you couldn't wait until you had confirmation, I'd really like to know, just to satisfy my own morbid curiosity. And then, after rushing out a story based on something you thought you heard, and I will keep repeating that phrase so you understand what an unbelievably low threshold for publication of any story that sets, you leave the smear up without edits, without corrections, for a full 24 hours before issuing an apology. And even now, as I stare at the original article in disbelief, the correction and apology you made isn't even there. The best thing to do would be to put the whole apology as an edit at the start of the article. And sweet Jesus, the apology was like reading the words of a politician who fucked his maid, lied about it to the press, and only came clean when presented with DNA evidence on her apron. It barely reads like an apology at all. And I also hope you appreciate the subtle wordplay involved in having sex with a maid and coming clean. To the rest of your letter. I'm glad you followed my career. As far as I can tell, the truly stupid thing I've done is cultivated enemies, petty narcissistic liars and swine who wait until something can be spun and then come together like spectre for failures to smear me. Defend myself from someone trying to headbutt me? No. I choked a man and wrestled him to the floor after having sex with his girlfriend. Took a short gig writing for a right-wing website? No, you pushed white supremacist propaganda and helped radicalize those goddamn gamer gators. I have no idea if you're what would be labeled an SJW or not. That's what he said in the letter to me. Frankly, I don't care. If you were one of the Orange Man Bad Brigade, then you've likely got bigger problems than trying to atone for this fuck-up. And still, I will accept the compliment about my work being good, whether you're demented or not. Hopefully that respect is genuine, because if it is, you will listen to this next part. You asked me to think of people at Kotaku as good people trying to do a job. Well, this is gibberish of the worst kind, and it's honestly beneath you. There is a much higher standard that needs to be enforced. than being a good person when we speak of journalism. Indeed, the fact so many of your lot think this is the only standard that matters is why this industry is in a fucking shambles and the standard of work has plummeted the past 10 years. I don't give a fuck if you give to charity. I don't give a fuck if you care for your elderly relatives. I don't give a fuck if you subscribe to all the right progressive political viewpoints. If you can check all that shit at the door anyway when you take on the mantle of journalist. Once you adopt that title, the only thing that matters is, will you always strive to tell the truth? Will you serve the public even if they hate you for it? Will you keep your own bias out of your work? Being a good person is irrelevant, and so is trying. If the self-important detritus that call themselves journalists these days would stop fucking crusading and actually adhere to the values I've just laid out, we might save this rotten business. But they won't, and we won't, and now people like me have to be ashamed to call ourselves journalists in public because of you good people trying to do a good job. Then let's get to the fact that Laura Kate Dale can never be considered a journalist. Her claim to that title was pulled the moment she provably lied in public in a bid for some spotlight. Hell, only a fool would buy that kidnapping story too, but I kind of prove she lied about it. She admitted to lying about being misgendered at those awards. At what point everything she says may as well be a turd tumbling out of her mouth? And this is who you employ? A serial liar who lacks the courage to even own a single one of her mistakes? Used a dying man for clout and spotlight only to disassociate herself from him because the queens of victimhood couldn't handle being written about, I couldn't handle anything being written about John that wasn't a hit piece? Yeah, I don't have any respect for journalists without backbones either. And while we're brushing past that topic, fuck you for feeding into that shit and pandering to people who only keep bringing up the non-event that was Gamergate because it was their only time in their wretched lives they mattered. I saw a Facebook post where she basically said you pushed her into publishing the story ahead of it being ready and made her change all the language. And I'll be honest with you, Richard, I could believe it happening. It's happened to me. That'd mean the real incompetent would be you, but coming from her...
Thank you for keeping my spirits up as I finish my dissertation. I first encountered your content when TB came on an episode of Unfiltered, and have followed since. Now Jeff Bezos can help me support you, smile.
Thank you, appreciate the sub, much love. But coming from her, I'll give you some king bastard odds on it all being lies. Lies she told because she cannot stop huffing the fumes of pity she gets every time she finds herself in one of these situations. Courtesy of a support network of dishonest scum and enablers. So assuming I am right, and I often am, what now? Not only is she a liar on record with a history of knee-jerk, inaccurate, and potentially dishonest reporting, she's now lying about her colleagues. I'd not hesitate to cut someone like that loose, because if you ever want to shake the perception that Kotaku is the lowest form of journalism, and it's likely too late to fucking shake that, these are the people that serially reinforce it. And if you actually did all the things she claims, then immediately resign and never work in journalism again, because I am telling you, you are not fit to. So no sympathy from me. The story was rotten from the start, purely executed, hastily published, and then, as in keeping with all your kind, when it was time to apologize, you showed no contrition. Jesus, don't you get it at all? If our industry had any standards, the bare minimum is someone should have been shit-canned. And honestly, it should have been maybe both you and Laura, because you didn't have the wherewithal to stop it despite being looped in every step of the way. Of course, there are no standards anymore. Who would enforce them even if there were? Instead, the average publication, even the ones masquerading as news these days, just pander to the audience they believe they can hold on to, telling them their preconceptions are the real truth, and a please stick around because it's only on these hallowed pages they will get their validation. Ask yourself, when is the last time you even published a piece that mildly challenged your readership's values? When did you last oversee a genuine piece of investigative journalism going after someone more important than someone said a naughty word, so let's end their career because of it? You want my advice? Genuinely? Get rid of Laura, whatever the headache that will cause when you are deducted woke points for being a poor ally, and actually look to hire someone who isn't on a Slack, Discord, or email group that you frequent. And yes, I know you fuckers are still doing that because you can't help yourself. From the moment people told you to collectively get your shit together, it's been you versus them, and they are irredeemable. So you get all tribal, and you hole up in digital caves, sharing tales about the evils of gamers around campfires, prison, congratulating each other on surviving the harshest job on the planet. But if you look outside of that group, you will find people who do good work, keep their biases and bullshit out of it, and even grasp that they will be judged on their competency rather than consistently falling back on identity politics bingo every time someone points out that they fucked up. And if you don't do this, then you're a flagellant and you cannot be helped. It will make no difference if I join the pile on or not. The person hurting you the most will be yourself. I know this is a waste of time, but I must try and plant some seeds. Be well, Richard. That was my letter to the editor. He did reply. He has read it. We have talked since, but it's not worth going into the details. So...